The Federal Environment Minister Susan Lee will today announce a review of the nation's environmental laws, the Environment Protection and Biodiversity Conservation Act. It comes as conservation scientists warn of an extinction crisis unless the laws are beefed up and properly enforced. The government's planning to significantly expand its network of Indigenous protection areas as part of this announcement, which should help protect some native species. And Minister Lee joins me now from Sydney. Good morning.
Good morning, Geraldine.
Do you accept, I wonder, Minister, that Australia is facing, as I was told yesterday by one of the scientists concerned, an extinction crisis?
I wouldn't call it a crisis, but I certainly am not backing away from the challenges and the pressures of both human activity on our environment and feral animals, Geraldine. I've just come back from Central Australia and I heard many stories about the dangers of feral cats, particularly to our small marsupials. The construction of wildlife fencing is protecting quite a few new communities of these little wallabies, the rufous hare wallaby, which was thought to be extinct on the mainland. But what that tells me is that were it not for the predation of cats, we would have a lot more of those mammals, and that is a similar situation across Australia. So, we don't back away from those pressures, but we also know that there's actions we can take to protect our environment. The Indigenous protected areas that you mentioned are part of that.
Yes, I'm going to come to that in a moment. I mean, the scientists have laid out some pretty stark figures in that big letter. Three Australian animals have been wiped out over the past decade, and another 17 could go extinct in the next 20 years, which suggests that our laws are just failing to protect our biodiversity.
Well, our laws are part of how we protect the environment, and the EPBC Act is our central piece of environmental legislation. I want to hear from the scientists. I'm very happy that they've written to me, and during the 12-month process of this review, which is a statutory review, it happens every 10 years, I know we'll hear from more people who are passionate about protecting the environment, as am I, and ideas about how we can improve the processes that actually lead to those on-ground actions, because that's what really counts. And there are people everywhere across Australia who want to do things, who want to be involved, who want to, for example, work in land care, work in coast care, plant seagrasses and mangroves, get involved in blue carbon sequestration. There's so much that is hopeful about the future, and I want to capture that.
Yeah, well, yesterday we heard from Professor Richard Kingsford from the University of New South Wales, who did write to you. He particularly wants this review to address habitat loss and degradation.
We're not saying you need to turn the clock back 200 years, but we are saying that it's very important to hold on to what we've got. And to do that, we've got to have a good national park system and an expanded one. We have to have very good ways of dealing with invasive species. We need to better protect our forests and our rivers and our marine areas. And there are many ways we do that. We either use national park systems or we can stop some of those threats.
I mean, is that the sort of thing that's on the agenda that you're going to announce today?
It's all on the agenda because it's all captured by the EPBC Act. And I'm pleased to hear Richard talking about marine areas, because our strong focus with our network of marine parks, the second biggest in the world, is highly significant. We're about to talk about more money to manage those. The reports and the initiatives that the scientists often refer to reflect on agricultural practices worldwide, not in Australia, and illegal fishing. So these are two areas where we internationally can have influence and effect. And I know that the Prime Minister's comments on the oceans at the UN were very well received on that front. Plastics in the ocean, the role of marine biodiversity in the planet's health as a whole is huge. So, again, I come back to people are doing things, we're involved, we're leading internationally, and there's great hope for the future.
But locally, to hear them say that there's a looming extinction crisis and that the current laws are not being properly enforced, that, in other words, we've got our intentions right, but the money that has to go into enforce them, and I've got a text here that came in yesterday from Philip from Deniliquin, who said that the National Park System, for instance, can't be effective unless it's properly funded. Here in New South Wales, the National Park Service is being starved of funding and the staff demoralised by cutbacks. In this area, there are two rangers managing about 500,000 hectares, and weeds and feral animals are totally out of control. That was just from one of our listeners.
Well, Geraldine, if I just may remark, that park is well known to me. That's in my electorate, and I know exactly what Philip's talking about. It's managed by New South Wales. And yes, I do believe that when states determine areas for national parks, the funding does have to follow to make sure that we keep those invasive pests and weeds out. That's absolutely critical. No one who lives in rural Australia or visits national parks and wants to see, you know, the beautiful special nature of them, wants to see them damaged by invasive species. It's vital. Now, we do have some Commonwealth funding that supports those initiatives, but in those state parks, they are state responsibilities.
But see, there's another interesting example, the recovery plan for the Bramble K melomese, I think it is, a small rodent, a great plan, was never implemented. As a result, the species went extinct earlier this year. That's the sort of thing the scientists are talking about. And as he said to me, you know, big whales have great ability to garner sympathy, and they're coming back brilliantly, actually. It was one of the good stories. But small invertebrates, they just don't. No one really cares enough.
I know exactly what people mean, and what we call the charismatic megafauna do attract a lot of attention. But it is important, if you focus on the environment, to care just as much about, a small invertebrate, an insect. They all have their role in the web of life, in our magnificent biodiversity. But all of these, I mean, I'm really looking forward to this review, capturing some ideas, some commentary, and the passion that I hear all around me about protecting our environment. But ultimately, Geraldine, you know, business needs to know what it can do and what it can't do within our unique environment. It's important for the way we live. And at the moment, the Act needs modernising. It needs streamlining. We want to hear from everyone.
Oh, what are you getting at there?
Well, when we look at the time taken for decisions to be made about what humans can do in a certain area, that is the human impact on the environment, it can take too long. Now, I've been very upfront about this. I've said that it doesn't matter what side of the argument you might be on about whether you're a proponent of a development or you would prefer that it not go ahead, you generally agree that that decision is taking too long. So that's a key central area of this process of looking at EPBC.
Okay, you're really flagging that, I mean, many might listen and say, well, she's actually saying there needs to be more attention given to the humans part of this of the equation rather than the animals we're talking about.
Oh, no, I'm reflecting on the process. It's cumbersome, it takes too long, and I hear from people frustrated about wanting certainty about going ahead with something that they are planning in their area that impacts on matters of national environmental significance, which is what the EPBC Act is all about. It focuses on 9 areas which are called matters of national environmental significance: wetlands, migratory species, National World Heritage areas, marine areas, water in some cases, and so on. So this is about getting the balance right. But what I want to emphasise is that it is also about protecting the environment.
It'll be very interesting to see how this is received when you do announce this. You did announce on Sunday a proposal to significantly expand the Indigenous Protected Areas Network, taking it from 67 million hectares to 100 million hectares, a very big jump. How much of a difference do you say that'll make to some of these native species?
It will make a difference, but importantly, it will engage Indigenous traditional owners in how we manage areas that are very special to them and give their communities further opportunities into the future. For example, the Indigenous Ranger Program, which I see across Central Australia, but also in the wet tropics, in the Great Barrier Reef, there's hope and opportunity for young Indigenous men and women to be protecting their environment in ways that are significant to them, that all Australians can learn from. And you're right, in increasing our Indigenous protected areas to 100 million hectares, that's an area in Australia that's the size of South Australia, in fact. So this is an important next step where we will consult with traditional owners, and I'm really excited about it. And it is a good news story, and Indigenous land management is also reflected in the EPBC Act.
I just must ask you, you spent the last few days at Uluru for the closure of the climb. I note your party room colleague Andrew Lamming was one of the last climbers, and of course the Prime Minister didn't attend ceremonies marking the closure of the Uluru climb, and Labor Senator Pat Dodson has criticised him for that. On both counts, Andrew Lamming's behaviour, say, and the Prime Minister's absence, did people raise that with you while you were there?
I heard incredible hope and excitement about the future of tourism, the future of these areas and the spiritual significance that all of the Ananu, the traditional owners, talk about and they want to share. And as I said publicly, no achievement or experience should come at the cost of another's sacred places. The climb is closed. It's overdue. It's a good thing.
Thank you very much for joining us this morning.
Thanks, Geraldine.
The Environment Minister, Susan Lee, joining us.